It's very nice to be here. It's been a while since I've been here, and I've missed you. You have a wonderful church, which is the people, not the building. And we're so thankful for that. It's good to see each and every one of you. Brother Don was talking about praying, and you know, sometimes the Lord doesn't answer your prayers because I'm standing before you. Just as long as you understand that, okay? Because I was praying that I had to get to hear Brother Kenny and Brother Don. So, you know, the Lord knows what's best for each of us. So I would ask that you would continue to pray for me for what time I stand before you. The prayers this morning, Brother Don's comments, is sort of what I've got on my mind. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn there, go to Colossians. And let's look at a prayer that Paul has for the Colossians, but it's a prayer that we should all have for each of us. It would be something that we need to be thinking about constantly. But just hold your place a second. I'm going to run over here to Hebrews 13. And there's two verses. Verses 20 and 21, where Paul is talking to the Hebrews and praying for them the same type of prayer. Listen to what he says. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that a nice prayer for us? Isn't that something that we need to keep in mind, that we would be given the completion, the perfectness of doing what is well-pleasing for God? We don't do it on our own. I don't know about you, but if it's not for God, I'm in trouble. So let's go back to Colossians and let me just get a few verses. I'm going to sort of paraphrase here real quick. But the first part of the chapter 1, he's giving thanks. It says, well, first off, he says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints and the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. In my mind, he's talking about this church. You have a love of God. You have the faith in Christ. You have a hope which is laid up for you in heaven. So he's talking about the same people. He's talking to the Colossians here. He hadn't been to see them. He was just writing to them. But he sees the same thing in them that I see in you. Then he goes on. He says, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So he's heard this from other people. Do you know that people hear about this church all over this nation? They've heard of you. They've heard of your love of Christ. They've heard of your hope. Then he says this, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let's stop right there. Shouldn't we be praying for each other for that? All wisdom and spiritual understanding. I fall from that a lot. I wonder why God puts me where he puts me. And then I get smart and say, okay, what would you have me learn from this, Lord? But his desire that we might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now look at verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There's a lot of words there. Let's look at those. That ye might walk worthy. Now, our English language and the way people believe right now, when we walk worthy, that's because we deserve it. That's not that word there. Okay? That you might walk worthy is appropriately. Shouldn't we be praying for each other that we walk appropriately of the Lord unto all pleasing? That word all pleasing means compliant. I want you to think about that. You're not walking your way. You're not walking the way you want to walk. You're walking in a way that is compliant with what God would have you to do. Amen. Paul is praying that you would walk worthy, appropriately, of the Lord and all compliance, that you would be listening to the Lord. You'd be looking to the Lord in all things, that you would be walking in such a way that you hear what he would have to say and you are compliant instead of saying, no, I don't want to do that. No, that would make me stick out in front. I don't want to do that. But as Brother Don was saying, when you do, the Lord's light shines through you. So listen to what he said, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. What's the good works? Whatever God has already ordained you to do. Verse 6 of chapter 1 of Philippians says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is the good works that God has for you to do. Not that you're doing in order, but because God has given you to do. And so you are compliant. You're walking appropriately, compliant with what he would have you to do, being fruitful in every good work. Because if God's given you the work, it's going to be fruitful. And then he says, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Are you always trying to increase in the knowledge of God? Are you increasing in the knowledge of YouTube and on the internet? Now, there's a lot of knowledge on that. Not necessarily true, but there's a lot of knowledge on there, okay? That you're increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might. Now, I got to looking at that. Strengthened means enabled. God enables you with all might. That word might means a natural ability. He gives you the natural ability to walk with him, to walk in accordance with him, to be compliant to his will. He gives that to you, enabling you with all natural ability according to what? Your own works? No. His glorious power. And that's manifested power. That's that light shining that we heard about already. He said, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. When you walk out of church, are you excited? Are you happy about being there? This is the day the Lord has made. We should be rejoice and be happy in it. Are we happy? Or are we going, oh, well, it's another day. You know, you think this is a Monday or something? No. Every day is the day the Lord has made. Every day. We're not looking forward to Friday. We're looking forward to Saturday. No, we're looking forward to Sunday. Because Sunday is when we get to meet again. But we're always with him. And every day we're walking with him in compliance, well-pleasing. Then he says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He qualified us to do that. We didn't have anything to do with it. It's what he would have us to do. He did it for us. Then he says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, the authority of the darkness. Do you realize how many people are in the dark? Today, they're not in church. They're in darkness. They may be children of God, but they're in darkness because they're not seeking the sun. Amen. S-O-N. All right, but he's delivered us. Even if they're not here, even if they're doing some other thing, whatever it is, that if they're a child of God, he's delivered them from the authority of that darkness. Now, he says, and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear son. He's changed us and put us there. Not what we would do, but because Jesus, well, listen to what it says. In whom, he says, the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that has translated us into the kingdom of his son. It's only Jesus' blood that has taken care of it, paid all of our sins. Now, remember who we're talking about. He goes on to say, the next verses, he says, who? Jesus is the image of the invisible God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Go to Proverbs 8 and read the last 20 verses of it. And there's a description of Jesus Christ. He was with God in the very beginning. He was there when he created the winds and he created the oceans and put the boundaries on the oceans. Heard a gentleman talk about that the other day when we were talking about it. We get worried about global warming and that the seas are going to rise. God put boundaries on the oceans. He's in control. Go on. He says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created. All things. Everything you have, everything you wish for, everything that's in this earth was created by him. That are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Oh, you go, wait a minute. Well, that means that all those evil things that are happening is created for him. Yeah. Why? Because everything gives him praise and honor and glory. When evil happens, what do? You're a child of God, you turn to God. You turn to God and you praise God that maybe you're saved from it. Maybe you're not, you're asking him to be saved from it. Whatever, you turn to God. Everything is created for him and by him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Everything consists because of him. That's who we worship today. That's who we're here to glorify and to praise in our songs. And wonderful songs this morning. The song service was beautiful. Wonderful songs to praise our God. But are you praising God in everything that you do? Do you walk down the street going, thank you, Lord, what a wonderful day? Now, you don't have to stand there and do all of this. But you can say, thank you, Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. I'll be happy and rejoice in it. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. All fullness. Now, if you go over here to verse 9 of chapter 2, it says, for in him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Jesus Christ is the entire Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We understand that. We don't understand how that is, but we understand that. Oh, I don't want you to think. I don't have all these verses memorized because I mess them up, so I'll just go to it. Chapter 14 of John. You don't have to turn there. But verse 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. And that day, at that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. So guess what? Chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 9 says, you've got the fullness of the Godhead bodily in you. Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You have them in you. You are something different than what the world is. You are something to praise God for, because he has done something for you that nobody else could do. You can't do it yourself. Now back up just a little bit of chapter 2. He says, verse 6, he says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Remember the prayer that we were talking about at the beginning? So walk ye in him. How do you walk in him? Rooted. That means established by God. You didn't plant that root. God did. I want you to think about this. Y'all understand this. You watch the weather and it's talking about the East Coast and they're having 35, 45 mile an hour winds and oh man, it's blowing over trees and all that kind of stuff. And out here we go, well, that's a normal day for us, right? Why don't our trees blow over? Because they're rooted. The roots go down 100 foot, because that's where the water is. Jesus has rooted you where? In God the Father. You are established, deep root. You are established in it, rooted, and then what? Built up in him. That built up means confirmed. God has confirmed you. Not only did he root you, get you settled and established, he's built you up, he's confirmed you, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, what he's talking to the Colossians at this point, there's some things coming in from the world, and he's telling them, don't let that stuff get to you. You don't do that because God has taken care of you. God is the one that's in charge. You have God in you. You have Jesus in you. Therefore, you should be able to turn it away. Verse 9 says, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through the philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. How many times have you gone someplace and it's the rudiments of men? It's about, oh, you got to do this and you got to do this. You have to be in this kind of shape, or you have to be in this kind of church. You know, when I was first starting my business in Clovis, they said, if you want to be successful, you go to this church over here. That's where all the successful people go. I didn't go. I wasn't successful. In their light. Because I was following what God would have me to do. He says, For in him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We're not talking about the bodily circumcision. We're talking about the circumcision of the heart, where the dead part is cleaned out and the living flesh is there. Jesus Christ has separated you for something much more glorious than taking up space. Buried with him in baptism, where also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. You ever think about the fact that your personal sins were nailed on the cross with Christ? If your sins are nailed on the cross with Christ, your sins are paid for. There is absolutely nothing that you have to do, because God is taking care of everything. Now let me finish up. We talked about praying. Chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, I want you to think about this. If you've been risen with Christ, which it says, buried with him in baptism, where also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. That same power is the same power that raises you from the dead. The Holy Spirit cleanses you. It's the same power. He says, if you be risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Are you seeking the things above? Are you seeking the things of the world? That's those rudiments we were talking about in verse 8 of chapter 2. Are you seeking the traditions of men? Are you looking to see what God would have you to do? Then he says, set your affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ, where? In God. You had a better place to be? Is there any place better than to be in God? Of course not. Now remember over here, it said that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. You want to know how to do that? Take chapter 3 and read it. That's how you walk worthy. That's how you walk with compliance. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Lie not one to another, having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Read those verses. That's walking worthy. That's not the good works that he would have you to do. Those, he gives you those to do. Those are foreordained before you. Oh, that verse comes up too. Okay, yeah. Sorry, you just have to bear with me. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We have things to do. And that's to shout and praise the holy name of Jesus Christ, because what he's done for us already. And then we should support each other by praying that we'd all be strengthened and enabled in our natural ability to praise him and to walk with him in all compliance and all well-pleasing, and gather up that knowledge of wisdom and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of God, and searching for it at all the times. And when we're following the last rest of that chapter of chapter 3 of Colossians, that's just walking worthy. Forbearing one another. Go back. Verse 12 of chapter 3. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another if any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. If you're holding something about against somebody, Christ forgave you. With your sins in his palms, don't you think you ought to forgive them? No matter. One other thing about that. When you're holding something against somebody else, who's it hurting? You. Because they don't know. It's not hurting them. He forgave the greatest things. He forgave everything. Surely we can forgive. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, the state of completion. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also ye are called in one body. One body. You are one body. And when you're walking in all pleasing to God, you're of one mind. And that one mind is the mind of Christ. So I pray for you since the day that I've heard about you, and I've heard about you for years. Do not cease to pray for you. Do to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, always giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God bless you.